He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review. It's the Best Stocks Now show. It's the Best Inverse Funds show. It's active versus passive. Which do you prefer? Where are the S&P 500 target prices right now? We're in earnings season. Where are interest rates headed? Are we in a recession? And how do you invest at a time like this? All that and more on today's Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse Funds Now show, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, who is a chartered financial analyst. We both have over two decades experience in the business. And we think we got a lot to say here that can help continue to help people that are. This is a different year. This is a unique year, Barry. This is not 2020. This is not 2021. This year we have rising interest rates. We have inflation. We have a slowing economy. We've got global conflict around the world.
An inverted yield curve now?
Yes, we have an inverted yield curve. And, you know, people could say, well, you know what, maybe it's best to just sit in cash. And at the same time, with inflation running at 8 to 9%, that's eating into your cash by 8 to 9%. And there is such a thing called bit inverse funds, which we've employed a lot. We currently own 12 inverse funds where you can actually pick on or take advantage of some of the areas that are so vulnerable in this market right now. So we have a lot to talk about today on the Week in Review show. You know, we had the jobs report, better than expected. We had a lot happening in the energy world over in Europe especially, where, you know, if things go as they're going, they'll be out of gas by the time winter hits. So there is so much going on, and we've got a lot to talk about here today on the Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. We own both. We still own stocks in the market, but only in areas that are still thriving. And if you say, well, what areas of the market are thriving? Is anything doing well? Consider that 12 out of 13 sectors in the market were down in the first half of the year. The only sector in the market that was up during the first half of 2022 was the energy sector. And oil has pulled back recently. In fact, oil kind of went into bear territory, down over 20%, taking the oil stocks with it. But now you're starting to see it mellow out. You're starting to see it consolidate. You're starting to see it go sideways. And I still think that energy is a big, big issue, not only this year, this month, next month, but going forward, when you look at what's going on in Europe with the Nord Stream pipeline, you had a couple of big actions by the EU this past week where, well, number one, you have a shakeup in world leadership, obviously, with Boris Johnson resigning as the leader of the United Kingdom. But you had the EU adopt both natural gas and nuclear as acceptable green energy. So, you know, they hadn't, I think they're kind of backed into a corner, Barry, as they're running out of natural gas to heat their homes this winter. And at the same time, you know, there's quite a few nuclear power plants across Europe, especially in France.
France is great. I mean, they produce, you know, probably, I mean, I know they export, at one point they export the most nuclear power, which is, which is pretty interesting when you think about exporting electricity across, borders.
I
never
really
thought about that until I read it, I don't know, probably a year ago or so now. But, yeah, they're very into nuclear. The thing is, you got to be ahead in nuclear. You don't just whip up a nuclear power plant. We learned that here in South Carolina. I think probably when you and I, even before we moved here, they were already having trouble with that the nuclear power plant they were trying to make north of here, and basically lost millions and millions of dollars, probably billion dollars.
And, you know, I was at the No Nukes concert in 1975 at the San Diego Sports Arena, maybe 1979, when at that point in time, nuclear energy was not popular amongst the Greenpeace, the environmentalist crowd. And now all of a sudden, even California is looking to, write off that Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. Well, you're going to Europe here. When are you leaving?
It'll be mid afternoon on Thursday. So we'll actually make it to Rome on Friday. So it's one of the 10-year-old and the 8-year-old are like amazed that you can leave during one day and then end up somewhere else the next day. So.
Well, all roads lead to Rome is what they say. And
I'd be doing some research along the way.
I want to hear, you know, now we'll have a researcher, an analyst in Europe. Make sure you talk to plenty of people over there about what they think, what they think about Ukraine, Putin, energy, this and that. Be interesting to get your take. Boots on the ground in Europe this week.
We'll be doing Rome and then Paris and then the Netherlands. So we'll get a little brush. We'll get a swath of everything.
Okay, that brings up a very important subject there with the Netherlands. Netherlands is the number 2 producer of food in the world. Okay, and the Netherlands government recently came down on the farmers and said, "Look, you got to cut carbon emissions by 50%." Within, I don't know what the deadline is, but it's an impossible goal to reach, okay? And the farmers know that. So you've got a massive protest strike. You've got tractors full of farmers, similar to what you had in Canada, but much, much bigger. And, where's this going to head? Are these farmers in the Netherlands going to lose their farms? That's what they're threatening them with.
Yeah, I saw something where they were encircling. I think they're blocking the airport that we're going to be flying into from Paris. We've got a couple, a week and a half before that. That's at the end of the trip. So
maybe it will cool down by then. But anyways, look, as we look around the world in 2022, it's an entirely different year. We had a phenomenal year in 2020, the COVID year, in the market. Last year we were a little bit cautious because we saw what was coming. Here's what we saw. We saw a rising interest rate environment. We didn't see inflation last year, but we certainly started to see it early this year. We saw a constricted supply chain. We saw a slowing economy. And, of course, a global conflict began with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, and global conflict continues, not just global conflict, but global unrest, kind of disruption, I would say. You had the assassination of Shinzo Abe here in Japan past week.
That was, that popped up. I saw that. It was wild news, especially for there, very rare to have gun violence, number one, and political violence.
Yes, and look, we had the turmoil in Canada earlier this year with the truckers over the COVID vaccine. So it's been a difficult year for investors, but it definitely backs us up. I've been a professional money manager for over 2 decades, and a former analyst covering several individual companies and writing up research reports. But, you know, I never drank the passive Kool-Aid that was being handed around Wall Street really for the last couple decades where, you know, you just spit out the asset allocation. I mean, the basic formula is 60-40. Okay. I read an article the other day why 60-40 is like a poisonous cocktail this year. 60-40 means you're 60% stocks. Okay, well, the S&P 500 is down about 20% this year. And you're 40% bonds, well, the bond market's down about 13 to 15% this year. And that's not how it was supposed to work. We were told, well, when bonds do bad, the stock market does well. And when the stock market does bad, bonds do well. But you've got a year this year where they're both doing poorly. The bottom line is, I write a newsletter every Friday. I've written it for the last 23 years. We've been warning you about what's coming. What are we saying now? You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, Week in Review. And, you know, it all began really back in 08, this current cycle, 08, 09. The S&P finally, the S&P 500 bottomed out in March of 2009, believe it or not, at about 660. So we have come a long ways. I mean, we were approaching 5,000 earlier this year, and there were a lot of S&P 500 target prices above 5,000, and now they've come down quite a bit. But why did the market go up from 2009 to 2022? Well, that's pretty easy. As the commercial just said, whether you listen to it or not, I don't know. The earnings bottomed out for the S&P 500 at about $55 per share back in 2009. In this year, the S&P is expected to produce about $225 per share in earnings. So from 55 to 225, you've had the earnings of the S&P 500 quadruple. And let's just assume that the multiple has remained at about 18 during that time. That's about average over the years. Just multiply those earnings each year by 18. As the earnings go up, multiple remains pretty much the same. The market's going to follow earnings. That's just the way it is. You know, it's no different here. You know, Barry, I live on the Wando River here, and just in the, across the Charleston Harbor. The shrimp finally arrived yesterday. I threw my net, got some nice big shrimp. And guess what's right behind those shrimp?
All the
big
fish.
Giant sea trout, big right. Giant redfish, flounder, crabs galore. So we're going to have a nice seafood dinner tonight. But just like the fish follow the shrimp, the market and stocks follow earnings. And as long as those earnings are coming in and rising, guess what? The market's going to rise also. That's the key to the market. I know people look at Fibonacci numbers. They look at MACD numbers. They look at moving average crossovers, which aren't bad, by the way. But there's a lot of different technical analysis. They have their different gurus. They have different newsletters, different people they listen to. You know, I found over time that a lot of the newsletter writers have an agenda. It's to sell newsletters, okay. And the more fantastic their headlines, the more, whether it's gloom or doom or whether it's totally, you know, based on greed, you know, I tell it like it is every single week. We've been very bullish on the market for the last 12 years during that big run in the S&P 500. While a lot of people stood on the sidelines and threw darts at it saying, well, it's all created by the Fed. It's the Fed. It's the Fed with their, well, okay, it still lifted the market from 600, S&P 500, 660, to almost 5,000 along the way. And the key to it was very simple, rising earnings for the S&P 500 companies. Now, here we are, 2022. We're expecting record earnings again this year. But let's not forget that the market is forward-looking. It's looking down the road at least 12 months. Where will earnings be 12 months from now? And more likely a couple years down the road. And right now the market's pretty nervous. We have persistent inflation. We have supply chain issues. We have an economy that doesn't have the big sugar boost, the caffeine boost that the Fed was supplying. In fact, the Fed is weaning the market off of sugar highs and caffeine and stimulus. The stimulus is disappearing. Not only is it disappearing, they're also putting some wind in your face with rising interest rates. Look at how the real estate market has cooled off just suddenly. I mean, it has come to a sudden halt. Refinancing, selling of homes, etc. Well, the Fed is doing it intentionally, and it's also going to have a big impact on the stock market. So you can't invest in an environment like this, like you did in 2020, which was more of a gleeful type speculative market. This is totally different. You know, I remember back in 08 and 09, Barry, some of the stocks that did really well were Dollar Tree, Dollar General, some of the pawn shop stocks, gold stocks, etc. You know, and I looked at Dollar Tree here recently, and Dollar Tree is actually one of the better looking stocks in the entire market right now. While your stocks that depend upon the economy, okay, the home builders, the Caterpillars of the world, the Deers of the world, that depend on a good, strong, vibrant economy, low interest rates, etc. Those are the worst places to be in the market in a slowing economy. Not only a slowing economy, there's a lot of people, including myself, that believe we've already dipped into a recession. The first quarter of this year was negative. And the estimates from the Atlanta Fed right now are for a second quarter in a row of negative growth, GDP growth.
And the trade deficit numbers continue to cut. So,
they're horrible.
We continue to widen. So, and of course, the dollar, you know, talk about going to Europe, the dollar's at the 20-year high against the euro. So timing's good. We had to put the trip off for 3 years for COVID, but
yes,
you know, I mean, you're looking at 101 right now on the for 1 euro. So it's the strengthening dollar has really been, you know, I think a big deterrent, especially to a lot of the commodity names, coupled with reflationary fears.
Yeah, so now here's the person sitting at home, and, well, obviously, cash, I would rather have cash than Caterpillar, all right, in this economy. I'd rather be sitting on cash that at least is stable than owning an economically sensitive stock, number one. Number two, you've seen the slaughter of the innovation stocks. The ARK funds down 75-80% from its high. They do not do well at all in a rising interest rate environment, nor do they do well in a recessionary environment. Now there's inverse funds that you can take advantage of in a market like this. For instance, we owned SARK for quite a while, which was inverse Cathie Wood's ARK funds. It goes the opposite direction of the underlying asset. It's inverse relationship. PSQ is the inverse NASDAQ. QID is double inverse the NASDAQ.
Your SOGU.
Yes, SOGU was inverse SPACs. The small caps don't do well in a rising interest rate environment. There's RWM, which is inverse the Russell 2000. So I don't know who manages your money. Do they employ from time to time inverse funds to protect you? Have they done anything have you just noticed that nothing's been done as your account goes lower and lower and lower and lower and lower?
Or at least hold more cash.
Exactly. Well, we believe in being active managers and doing, when the market shifts, you've got to shift your portfolio with it. What are we doing now? I'm offering 2 free weeks of my newsletter. You can see our different portfolios. GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now. Best Inverse Funds Week in Review. It's not a good year for the bond market either. You know, those asset allocations say if you're 70 years old, you should have 70% of your portfolio in the bond market, or bond funds more specifically. And you know, it has not been a good year for the bond market at all. And I think it's going to continue to be a tough ride because more than likely, interest rates are going to continue to go up. The 10-year is pegged right at 3% here as we end the week. And the 2-year, last time I looked, was a little higher than that, meaning we have an inverted yield curve, meaning that the bond market thinks that a recession is very, very likely. And in fact, we might already be in one. Now, consider that the bond market, I measure IEF, which is the 7- to 10-year U.S. Treasury, which are considered to be the safest bonds in the world. That fund, that ETF, is down 11% year-to-date. The high-yield index is down 14% year-to-date. So much for that asset allocation of having so much in bonds, depending upon your age. That has not been. You have to take into account there's more to it than just age. What about the conditions of the world? We had interest rates come down for 40 years, and now they're finally started to head back up. S&P 500, as of yesterday, down 18% year-to-date. The inverse S&P 500, which is SH ETF, is up 17.4% year-to-date. The forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 began the year at 23. That was a very rich multiple. Over time, it's been more in the 16 to 18 area. It has contracted to 17. And that's been part of the readjustment of the S&P 500. That's a big reason the S&P is down 18% year-to-date. And obviously, as interest rates go up, that multiple will continue to contract if interest rates continue to go higher. And obviously, the areas that have the highest P.E. ratios are the most vulnerable because those P.E. ratios have further to contract. Consider ARC funds down almost 60% year-to-date, 50%, somewhere in there, because the average P.E. on her portfolio is extremely high. Consider that the NASDAQ is down 26% year-to-date, 26% compared to the Dow, which is down 13%. Why is the Dow down just 13% and the NASDAQ 26%? P.E. ratios. The P.E. ratios of the NASDAQ are considerably higher than that of the Dow stocks. And for that reason, you've seen a bigger contraction. As multiples contract, the highest P.E. ratios get hurt the most. Holding cash, all right? I track a very, very short-term Vanguard fund, very short-term. It's down 5% year-to-date. That's partly due to inflation. Small caps are down 18% year-to-date. So much for diversifying around the world. Emerging markets down 16% year-to-date. Europe, which continues to have a lot of issues, been greatly impacted by Ukraine, been greatly impacted by energy costs, natural gas, continues to rise in Europe. Barry will bring back boots on the ground report, talking to people right. in Europe. Europe is down 23%. Of course, it makes a European vacation pretty reasonable right now with that strong dollar. India is down 20% year to date. You know, the shirt that's the least dirty in the laundry right now is China. China's actually starting to pick it up a little bit. They're starting to support their companies once again. 95% of the solar supply chain comes from China. China now has the largest electric vehicle maker in the world. It's not Tesla anymore. It's Boyd, B-Y-D-D-Y, B-Y-D-D-Y, which has also got big backing from guess who? Warren Buffett. It's now the biggest electric vehicle maker in the world. Japan down 20% year to date. Trading in Russian stocks has been suspended. When they stopped trading, Russia was down 79%. Bitcoin. We warned about Bitcoin until we were blue in the face. Bitcoin is down 55% year to date. The Treasury, the U.S. dollar remains very strong. It's up 11.5% as people plow into it for safety. And that has held gold down. Gold has been a poor investment in 2022. It's down 5%. The cleanest shirt in the entire laundry has been oil. Oily stocks up. Well, the oil, crude oil up 36% this year. Believe it or not, we started the year at $75 a barrel. By the time Russia invaded Ukraine, it had already risen to $93 a barrel. And now it's 102, so it's up about $10 per barrel as of now since the Ukraine invasion. And it continues to be a problem, especially in Europe. All the major indexes remain in downtrends. I do not like to buy in a downtrend. Therefore, we have a pretty good deal of cash right now sitting on the sidelines. We also own quite a few inverse funds. We've picked on areas of the market that we feel are vulnerable and continue to be vulnerable. Europe continues to be vulnerable. The emerging markets continue to be vulnerable. Small caps, the bond market. There's inverse funds, ETFs, on all of these different asset classes. You can learn a lot about those in our weekly newsletter. Now, in addition to writing the newsletter, which I'm working on today, we called the bottom of the market in 2020. I mean, we were right on within a day or two. We said it's time to go all in. The market has priced in COVID, and it's time to go all in. We had a fantastic year in 2020. Then we started getting cautious. In the spring, early spring, February, March of last year, as interest rates started to tick up, there will be another major buy signal in the market at some point in time. What's it going to take? It's going to take all of this inflation issue to wash through. It's going to take the Fed doing their thing. We're going to get a big clue from this coming earnings season where we're headed with earnings. And in the charts of the market and the index, we're going to see some bottoming action. And we're going to see that bottoming action finally start to turn up and see a reversal from the current downtrends we're in. I will say this, and I don't know if it's going to hold or not. I have seen some bottoming action in the NASDAQ over the last 5 to 6 weeks. I don't know if it's going to hold, but that's probably the most the best attempt that the NASDAQ has made at a bottom so far. I even saw some of the leading stocks in the NASDAQ, like Amazon and Google, actually after making a bottom. What stocks do, hopefully, after making a bottom? They turn to the upside, and that's what we're waiting for. I did see Google turn to the upside this past week. I saw also a few others that turned to the upside this past week, but it's way too soon. In fact, our last article in Seeking Alpha said it's too soon to call a bottom. Now, That's another way you can follow Gunderson Capital Management and Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We write articles for Seeking Alpha on a regular basis.
We got one in the hopper at the moment.
We got one in the hopper, and we have several fresh ones out there. We were the ones on Seeking Alpha that called the bottom in 2020. We've been riding there for about 10 years, 8 years. There is a independent service that ranks us. I have nothing to do with their they've never spoken with me. Tipranks.com. Tipranks.com. And they track all of the people that write for Seeking Alpha. I think there's over 8,000 that they track, their record. Last time I looked, we were number 132 out of over 8,000 writers on Seeking Alpha, which puts us in the top 1 or 2%. So you might want to have a look at what we've been saying here recently. You can go to SeekingAlpha.com and you can check what we, our record is there, okay? We can't hide from it for better or worse, but we're pretty proud of the record of where we are currently ranked, which gives us some credibility, I would suppose, to look and see what we're saying now. Our newsletter will come hot off the press this weekend. I sent it out while the ink's still wet. See what we're saying, see what we own, see what we're buying, see what we're selling. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be back for the final segment for the weekend.
You gotta know where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. You know, I went virtual many years ago in this industry. Maybe I'm a trendsetter. I don't know, Barry, but way before COVID ever came along, I, like the rest of people, had an office, you know, in a big city, in a big tower downtown with expensive parking and everything. And I trudged to my office every day and my crew, and we worked from there. And I decided a long time ago, you know, I had my radio show has been all across the country, Best Stocks Now. And, of course, you can look up the podcast. We have a lot of people that listen because you could listen at your leisure. I think there's a big time difference between here and Europe, right? What is it,
yeah,
8 hours?
I think it's going to be, I think it's six, depending. I think it's going to be about six. So good news is I'll be in the future, right? So I'll,
yes,
be, I'll be ahead of you.
Can you let me know how the market did before
exactly
it closes?
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you. Okay.
Well, they got a crystal ball over there. I'll
yes. Okay, so, you know, and I have my show was heard in Seattle, San Francisco, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Pennsylvania, Sarasota, Dallas, all across the country.
Detroit.
Detroit. We have a lot of followers and friends in Detroit, Michigan. And so, you know, it only made sense to have a virtual office, use the technology. We were way ahead of our time. We talked to everybody. I have a Zoom call, several Zoom calls for next week. Barry does most of the calling and the Zoom. He knows the whole system that we use here at Gunderson Capital. It makes it very convenient for you. You don't have to get in your car and drive downtown and pay that expensive parking and fight the traffic and this and that. You can
directions,
just
directions.
Oh yeah,
I mean, especially when you get downtown. You get one way roads.
Yeah, I found myself going the wrong way. Where was I on a one way road the other day?
That's just with MapQuest, where you had to print
yes
out the map. That's before all the navigation things we have on our phone.
Some guy was pointing at me, and he was using a finger that most people don't use to point directions. But anyways, you got to be careful. So anyways, we have a virtual firm. I'm much more productive. I work from my home office here in the Charleston area, beautiful area. I was in San Diego for my entire life. My wife and I moved here about 2, 3, 4 years ago. We love it here. And this is where I operate from, very quiet and peaceful. I can think You know what? We're active investors. I don't know who's managing your portfolio. Maybe you're doing it. Well, fine. I have a lot of tools for the individual investor, the do-it-yourselfer. I produced an app called BestStocksNowApp.com. I've got it right here in front of me on my iPad. I use it exclusively. It ranks over 6,000 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds. The markets, the indexes, the sectors, you name it. I would be lost without it. I've been an avid fisherman all my life. That's a big ocean out there. You head out to Charleston Harbor, and there's a big ocean. You've got to go to the reef. You got to go to where there's structure. You got to go where the fish are. That narrows it down a lot, your choices. And I feel like the app narrows down a huge field for me. In fact, out of 6,000 stocks right now, we only have 150 that are ranked B plus or better. 150. Normally it's 700-800, which shows you the weakness of this current market. When I look at the sectors in the market, there's virtually no leadership whatsoever. Other than the solar sector, to some extent, is a leading sector. The oil sector led the market for the first half of the year. But there's a lot of really, really bad sectors, a lot of bad indexes, a lot of bad asset classes that you just don't want to be in.
A lot of bad charts.
Oh, my gosh. And I look at it over 1,000 charts a day. The vast majority of them are in downtrends. Number one, you don't want to own a stock that's in a downtrend. Number two, you don't want to buy a stock that's in a downtrend. You want to wait till it levels off and starts to curve up. Or, you know, I was just looking at one here that's a leading nuclear energy stock. There's one of the better-looking charts in the entire market right now. It only makes sense. You know, the nuclear energy was declared a green energy, acceptable to the European Union, the EU. So I have you covered with my weekly newsletter, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, the app that I give you access to, as part of the deal. And then anytime I make a change, I run 8 portfolios. Anytime I make a change in one of those portfolios, and of course the portfolios are different. Some of them are very aggressive. Some of them are very conservative. I normally own about 20 to 25 positions in each portfolio. Right now, I maybe own 10 positions in each portfolio. The rest is in cash. And, like I said, between all of our portfolios, I currently own 12 inverse ETFs to hedge and to take advantage of the vulnerable areas in the market. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, I totally have you covered. And if you're retired or if you work, you don't have time to make the trades, to watch all of this. We are fee-based only managers. I haven't sold a commission product since 1999, I think, something like that. I went fee-based only very early in my career in this industry and have been there since. Have no interest whatsoever in commission products. I'm not a brokerage firm. We are a registered investment, fee-based only, fiduciary firm. If you'd like to have us have a look at what you currently have, what kind of mess you've gotten yourself into, maybe you got a do-nothing broker that you want to hang up on. I don't know. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a virtual meeting with us, either over the Zoom or just over the telephone, and we can discuss what we can do for you. We'll give you an assessment, honest assessment of what you're doing now, what kind of danger you might be in. I don't think we're through this bear market yet. I think there's still it's a very, very shaky market, and there will be a bottom. The NASDAQ's trying to put in a bottom. The greed side of me is starting to beckon, you know. But at the same time, I pretty much remain in a pretty safe stance in the market right now until things improve. Get the newsletter. 2 free weeks. It only goes out to our clients and subscribers, but I give 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. Set up a phone call. It can't hurt. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.